Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 29th, 2013, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, last week, after mentioning Mercury retrograde, right after the show, I realized that I gave the wrong date, which should have been November 10th. So, see, Mercury got me already. We have been looking forward to having Barbara Evans back with us tonight. Barbara is a visionary healing artist, Reiki master, crystal resonance therapist, and ordained minister. As the founder of Crystal Wings Healing Art, she travels extensively, introducing her work and the Eden Method through presentations, workshops, events, and consultations. Her many books include Messages of Universal Wisdom, and recently she co-wrote Coloring for Joy, a book for children, with her daughter. Barbara will be joining us right after the news, and you can visit her website at crystalwingshealingart.com. So at the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseeds, and she'll be sharing some emails from our listeners from time to time. We'd like to thank Chris and Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And if you like our show, we'd sure appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. Our main site, starseedhotline.com, has been coded for Starseed activation and holds a wealth of Starseed information in our vault. We also have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com. And we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go or download them right from our show page archives. If you want to contact us privately, our toll-free number is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. Please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. And if you'd like a Stage 2 reading to interpret your solar return energies beyond just knowing when the window is, please make sure you book it 2 months ahead because there is a waiting list. So now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Welcome, ladies.
Well, Lavendar here, and I'm very anxious to hear from you, Anastasia, because I know you have a lot of good things to say. So go ahead and take it away.
Well, thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be back with you for this Starseed program. It's just good to all be back together. And I want to start out tonight. Oh, hi, Ariel, by the way.
Hello.
Lavendar. Let's don't get too quick here. Great to be back with you tonight. So we're going to start out by talking about the sun tonight. We did have an X-class flare. Earth-orbiting satellites have just detected another strong solar flare. He's heating up again. It was really quiet for months, but the sun is beginning to be active. And this particular flare departed from sunspot AR1875. I think I mentioned that to you a week or so ago. Now, this blast peaked today at about 2:48 Pacific Daylight Time, and it was considered an X2. So it was a big flare. Now, the sun is actually dotted with spots right now, and three of them pose a threat for strong eruptions. Today's sunspots are AR1875, AR1882, and AR1885, and all of those have the beta-gamma-delta magnetic fields that do harbor energy for strong X-class solar flares. They say that these flares are likely to be geo-effective. particularly the one that left today, they say that when it impacts, it will affect polar radio transmissions and certainly give us a lot of auroras at the northern poles. And there have been more fireballs in the sky outside of the kinds of things that we would expect from our typical meteor showers. There was a meteor fireball that really startled people in Colombia, and there was an overhead explosion felt. They thought it might be a small earthquake, but in actuality, it probably didn't impact the ground. The small earthquake would likely be the shockwave blast from the meteor that exploded in the atmosphere. There was a video of this on the Internet. There were people dancing in the street, and in the middle of this video, somebody was pointing to the sky. The camera raised up to follow the person pointing, and huge fireball, very bright, coming down from the sky. So that's how we got a video of that. This happened in Colombia. Now, there were 27 fireballs recorded over the United States on the 26th of October, just a few days ago. And the network that records this said there were 16 sporadic fireballs, 7 from the Orionids, 1 from Geminid, the Geminid meteor shower, 1 from the Southern Torrid, and a bunch from the, a couple of other typical meteor showers that we see. But out of those 27, 16 were unsuspected and from unknown origin. You know, we're always talking about the Earth going back to the galactic core. Well, now, scientists are scratching their heads over this. They have just seemed to discover, or a new study indicates, that stars in our part of the Milky Way seem to be doing what they call the wave. Now, this finding comes from an analysis of the motions of more than 70,000, imagine that, 70,000 red giant stars that lie within 6,500 light years of Earth. Now, they say that's a distance that reaches about, maybe a quarter across to the center of the galaxy. Now, they say that above the horizontal plane that slices through the center of the galaxy, well, the stars closer to the center are moving away from the center at speeds of 10 kilometers per second or less. And they say that those that are farther from the galactic, farther from the center, are moving towards the plane, like us, for instance, at about 17 kilometers per second. So they say they don't know why some stars are moving out toward the edge and other stars are pushing into the core. They don't really understand the mechanics of that. They say that the reason for these, what they call anomalous motions, are not clear. But it appears that the Earth is actually moving toward the center of the galaxy, according to new scientific findings. There has been a volcanic eruption in Russia that just happened today. The Chubanovsky volcano, which is just north of the capital of a certain province there, which I cannot pronounce, last erupted in 1959, and it has just blown its stack. Also, Mount Etna in Italy actually shut down an Italian airport because it actually really did blow its top on Saturday. It shot sparks and flames and ash into Italy's sky. They say that it does erupt relatively frequently, but they say it hasn't had a major eruption since 1992. They say that Saturday's eruption sent a wall of ash so high into the air it could be seen through most of Italy or eastern Sicily. So that was a big explosion. So that's what's going on. Actually, there's a lot of active volcanoes right now all over the planet. There's a website that indicates how many active volcanoes there are. And I'm telling you, there's over 10 or more going off right now. I just can't keep track of all of them. One wouldn't expect that, but it's a very active time seismically. And I have no way of telling you whether or not that's common or not. But there's just a lot of things happening underneath the planet. Well, we've had something that I think everybody ought to know about. There's been an outbreak of a piglet disease that spread to the U.S., and they don't really know what's causing it or how it got here, but they say that it came from China. The pork industry's been reporting that they're just noticing that baby pigs have gotten this virus. Through the first week of October, they've reported 768 cases of this little piglet disease. And they say that it's not transferable to humans, but it has been devastating for the pork industry. So they don't know what to do about it. They really don't know how to stop it. And all they know is that they have tracked it to China, where it originally started. So, anywho, There's been earthquakes in Israel. 5 earthquakes in 6 days rattled northern Israel the last number of days, ranging from 3.3 on the Richter scale to 6.4. That was so large it was felt in, not only in Israel, but it was felt in Athens and in Egypt. And, yeah, so just a lot of volcanic and earthquake activity, which we don't have time to cover in the show. We could probably do a 30-minute program just on what's going on the planet when we talk about nature, what's happening out there, just a lot of stuff. I wanted to, this is a really tough subject to talk about, and I debated about whether even to bring it on the news tonight. But I've decided that Starseed are very mature spirits, and we all have a calling, and so I really do want you all to know about this, as hard as it is to hear about it. I learned about this from an Australian newspaper, and I'm going to abbreviate it, although it would be worthwhile probably just to read it to you. But there was a yachtsman who is a professional yachtsman, crosses the ocean periodically, and his name is Ivan McFadden. And he left Australia to take a voyage from Australia to China and over to the U.S. And when he got back, he contacted reporters and made statements, and this appeared in the Australian press and then made the U.K. press, and from there has been tweeted in the United States. A lot of people have tweeted about this because it really is a sad story. He left Australia, and the thing that he noticed first, he said, was that it was very silent. He said he could hear the wind, and as he went along and through the miles towards Japan, the only noise that he heard, though, was the muffled thuds and bumps as the boat knocked against pieces of debris. He didn't hear seabirds because, even though he was very used to that, he said in previous journeys there was a lot of bird noises and saw a lot of fish and whales, and they would fish from the side of the boat to feed themselves on this long journey. They only caught 2 fish during the whole trip. And he said the birds were missing, and they really didn't see any fish. In fact, maybe he said they didn't eat any fish. Either 2 fish or no fish. But in any event, they used to catch them every day. So he said there was hardly any sign of life at all. And he said, you know, he expected to hear the birds, and birds make a lot of noise. And he said the birds used to land on the masts and in the sails and give them company on their journey, but there were no birds to be seen. And this, by the way, occurred in March and April of this year. He said that only silence and desolation surrounded his boat. And when they went from, as they approached Japan, I want to tell you, he said that there was garbage in astounding volumes. He said he thought it was from the aftermath of the tsunami. And he said that there was an unbelievable load of stuff into the ocean. He said that they saw thousands and thousands of yellow plastic buoys. They saw synthetic rope, fishing lines and nets, plastic, slicks of oil, slicks of gasoline, wooden power poles, smokestacks from factories. He said that there was so much debris that they were terrified they were going to sink their boat, because moving along, things just constantly hit the underneath of the boat. They didn't think they were going to make it. It was so bad that it was a dangerous voyage for them. And this went on for thousands of miles. After leaving Japan, they found that the color of their boat from being in the water changed. He'd had his boat painted a new yellow, beautiful yellow for this journey. And it wrecked the paint from just being in the ocean off the coast of Japan. He said that from Japan to San Francisco, it was even worse. He said that, again, the ocean was dead. He said that there was no wildlife, no sign of fish except one struggling whale, and miles and miles and miles of debris, thousands of miles of debris. Now, we don't hear about this on the mainstream news, and really, there should be. The public needs to rally around this problem and do something about it. When he got back to Australia, he contacted yachtsmen, his groups, they call them yachties, to try to get everybody together to see what they could do to go clean up this mess from the tsunami, and also from, he did mention overfishing as being a problem. In any event, his colleagues claim that it would cost more and be more environmentally damaging to use gasoline that would be required to take ships out into the debris field to clean it up than to just leave it alone. And so, you know, I know that we have very brilliant people that listen to this program, Starseed, very gifted people who can make a difference. And I think it's time that the really special people of this world who have talent, ability, and means need to put their heads together, need to rally whatever we can to face and address this tremendous worldwide problem of the contamination of the ocean from the Fukushima incident, as well as other types of pollution and destruction that mankind is, doing to our oceans. This is really a very serious story, and we really ought to be paying attention and seeing what we can do about it if we are so inclined. So I wanted to pass that along and let all of you special people meditate on this, contemplate on it. You can research about it if you Google the man's name. Is Ivan McFadden, M-A-C-F-A-D-Y-E-N. And he's famous for the quote saying, "The ocean is dead." If you Google those words, it will take you to the articles about that. On the positive side, you see, this is how it works. We can make a difference, because in spite of everything, from Japan to the Pacific coast and down south to Australia, in the northern part of the Pacific waters, because of the actions that human beings have taken to correct their ways, the stellar sea lions are off the endangered list. Their population is actually rebounding. They had a 5-year plan to shore up dwindling populations of those eastern stellar sea lions that roam from Alaska to California, and they say they've succeeded. They announced last week that it will be deleting the animal as a threatened species because they exceeded their goal for annual population growth by more than 30%. Isn't that great?
Wow.
Now, as marine predators that forage on a variety of fish, squid, and other species, these little sea lions are a vital component of the North Pacific Ocean ecosystems. And they say that this recovery is a testament to the success of the Endangered Species Act and to the work that people have done to pull together to protect them. And they say that this will ensure the health of marine ecosystems in that part of the ocean for future generations. So you see what we can do when we don't pay attention and what we can do when we actively take action to make a difference. So it's our choice. And I'm running over my time, so that's the news for tonight. I'm going to turn it back to you, Arielle. It's going to be a great show.
Well, it sure is, and thank you so much for the work that you put into the news, Anastasia, and bringing stories that we need to hear.
I think we do need to hear some of these things, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm so glad.
Why we're here.
Yeah.
We're going to help.
There's always good news, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And thanks so much. And at this moment, we are going to bring Lavendar on and our guest, Barbara Evans, who was on the switchboard. So just let me get your mic open for a second here, Barbara. Okay, there we are. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you back. We've been looking forward to this. Lavendar, you on us? You on the phone there?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah. Barbara. Thank you so much for sending me that great coloring book. I love it.
Oh, you're welcome. Have you done any coloring in it yet?
Haven't had a chance to do it, but I'm going to take a weekend to just sit in with my paints, and when I do my paints, and I'm going to take this book and work with it.
Beautiful.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your earlier life, if you don't mind telling us how you came about on your spiritual journey. I noticed that you had mentioned the death of your father and how it triggered your passion. Can you kind of give us a short synopsis of what happened there to awaken you at that moment in time?
Well, he had developed cancer, and to that point, I was a Western scientist. I was a biologist. I was totally immersed, if you like, in what I now call Western science, Western medicine as well. And as I walked by his side for that last 2 years of his life, I saw that what I had believed in and put so much energy into really didn't hold any answers for him. And in his last few days, as I looked into his eyes, I saw how much he loved me, but I also saw pain and fear. And it's the first time that I ever remember words in my head that I knew weren't mine. And these words said, life was not meant to be like this. And that was quickly followed by, there has to be another way. And it was as if those words were a trigger to start my awakening process. And it was a process. It certainly did not all happen in one go. But several months after his passing, and I was devastated by his passing because I didn't have a spiritual foundation. And so I felt he had gone into oblivion, and it was truly devastating. I can't put that into words. But several months afterwards, he came to me in a dream, and I knew beyond all doubt that that was real. The quality of the dream was different, and he had come to tell me that he was okay. And that, again, was a life-changing moment. From that point on, synchronicity started to happen and started to lead me, first of all, into energy healing. And then 6 years later was when I met sacred geometry and was encouraged to try drawing. And from the very first drawing, I could feel the energies pouring through me into the paintings, and a knowing that they were not only to help me with my journey, but to share with the world and help other people with their journeys too.
I noticed that you have mentioned crystals quite a bit in your work. I'm just curious, have you ever done a painting on canvas and then taken some tiny crystals and glued on the painting?
I haven't. And I currently paint on watercolor paper.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't actually painted on a canvas at this point, although I know that that is calling to me in the future. But what I do is I channel the energy of the crystals into the painting. So every different color that you see in one of my paintings has a specific crystal energy within it.
Okay.
So in a sense, sticking the crystals on would be an added enhancement, but the energies are there already. And by doing that, I am able to use some very rare crystals that you would not be able to use if you were actually attaching them to the painting themselves.
Okay. Okay. I know that when my mother was alive, she did a huge painting. She drew some crystals, and then on the bottom, she put a lot of glue, and then she threw a lot of these geysers on the bottom of the painting. But they're real
mm-hmm.
tiny. I mean, they're hair-like crystals. You know, they would
right.
just look like sand almost. And so as I was reading this, I thought, oh, I wonder if you'd ever put crystals on your work.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility for the future.
Well, if you'd like for me to send you some Giza crystals to experiment with on a painting, I'd be happy to send them to you.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Okay.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about after you were awakened and you started on your journey, I think it was about 2003, you had
mm-hmm.
a really big quantum leap into transformational healing. And
right.
is that when you put together the Eden Method?
Well, the Eden Method, in a sense, is a name that has been given to my work actually this year. But it is a name that describes the work that I've been doing since 2003. But at that point, I had no idea that's what its name was going to be. The actual quantum leap, and it's really interesting because I was, you know, being held in the switchboard while Anastasia was giving the news, which is always, synchronicities are always interesting. And this another major step for me happened in September of 2003, where some of my early sacred geometry work was on exhibition at the Omega Institute in New York. And I was at the conference, which was called The Water of Life. And the conference was a collection of people from all over the world, from all different disciplines, so from the very spiritual to the very scientific. Everybody, there were water engineers, everybody that cared about water on the planet. And as I sat there, having been a biologist and so very much understanding that biological aspect of everything that was being discussed and the importance of water to life, absolutely essential. And it's not only its presence, but its quality, its purity makes so much difference to life on the earth. And as I sat there, I knew I wasn't there in my old role as a biologist. I was there in my new role as an artist. And as I drove home from the conference, I found myself driving and making a spiritual commitment to create a piece of art for healing the waters of the earth. And they were not, it was not just to be a pretty picture to hang on the wall. It was to make a significant energetic contribution to the healing of the waters of the planet. And the following week, it took me a week to do the painting, and it was the most intense week of my life to that point. And the painting is called Healing the Waters of the Earth and is image key number one. It's what started everything off. And I'd invited the guides who were working with the healing of the planet to guide me and work through me. And if they chose to, show themselves in the painting. And it was towards the end of the creation of that piece when, to me, the paint wasn't sticking on the paper properly. And I started to look at it closely, and there was a very clear face and instantaneously the knowing of who it was, and that it was the Greek god Poseidon, the god of the sea. And he had shown himself in the painting. And I can truly say that since that moment, my life has never been the same.
So is this painting you're talking about, is it on your website?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
It is in the gallery, and it is number one.
Number one. Well, you know, you can't ever redo a first. A first is so... you know?
This is true. Absolutely.
So, okay, now let's talk a little bit about this new level of frequency that you're working with and how it brings the divine feminine and the divine masculine into balance. Can you give us a little insight to how you work with these energies, especially with your colors and also in your lectures with people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I very much work in the creation of each of the images. There is a balance brought into them with the feminine and masculine energies through the sacred geometry. And with the creation of each piece, the geometry is used very much with that as part of the intention. So it's, if you like, it's in the foundation of each of the pieces. And I also feel that the crystals bring in both feminine and masculine energies to the work as well. Some of my crystals have chosen very much to take on the feminine role, and some of them a much more masculine role. And so they also interweave the feminine and masculine energies. And in addition to that, I'm usually working with both feminine and masculine guides. So they're also interweaving those energies within the paintings. So each individual image does this in a slightly different way, but it's there in every single one of them, inviting us to bring that feminine, masculine energy within ourselves, each as individuals, into balance, so that we can work with both our intuitive, creative side, but also our logical action side, to put those dreams and intuitions into action in the world.
I have not looked at the website in some time, but do you do sessions with people, and then do you make a mandala or a special a piece for them after you have a session? Is this how you work?
I have not done that to this point. To this point, the images that have come through me have very much been for the whole of humanity. So they work with individual people on a very, very personal level, but they have been created in order for everyone to share, if you like.
Is it like a starseed DNA activation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so. And so my private sessions are very, I call my private sessions activation sessions. And I usually, within the session, work with the card deck. And so people will set an intention. And then we draw the cards and create a sacred space around them with the card deck. The cards have an amazing energy within them. And the ones that come out in response to that intention create an energetic cocoon very specific to that person and their intention. And then I use my alchemy crystal bowls to help that to really become integrated and activate their DNA to the next level, ready for the next steps in their life.
Without mentioning any names or anything, is there a particular story that you would like to share with us about someone that has come to you and how you've been able to help them with this method?
Oh, my goodness. It's like I'm thinking of so many different sessions at the same time. And that single one is not standing out. So it's very, people are just very, very moved by the experience and definitely find it supportive, very nurturing, but at the same time is encouraging them to take these next steps in their life. And because I travel so much around the country, what I'm tending to find is that it might be that I do a session with a person, say in Albuquerque, and then maybe I'll see them a year later when I travel back to Albuquerque, or maybe I'll go to a place once and I don't go back again. And so many people have received just a single session, and then there are a few who have received repeated sessions, which is really quite interesting.
So what you see with the repeat sessions is that they're in an evolutionary mode of where they're traveling and transforming themselves?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And usually they will say how the session the year before, you know, how tremendous it was for them. And one lady in particular, I think she felt that she had spent most of the year working on what we had done in that session, and then she was back for more. So,
I know that you really work with feng shui. A lot of people that listen to our show, they know about it. For those that really don't understand feng shui, can you give a little brief description of feng shui and how it works and how your Eden method works with feng shui?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really feel very much that feng shui is, and this is my sort of simple version of feng shui. I am by no means a feng shui master, but it is the placement of the objects around us to create a beautiful flow of energy, and that when the energy within a room is able to flow, then that is reflected within our life. And there are specific things that you can place within a room in certain parts of the room that will help create that energy flow. And there's certain sort of key things that are not a good idea to do because it disrupts the flow. And just shifting pieces of furniture can make a phenomenal difference to the flow of the energy and therefore to the flow of our life. What I feel that this artwork does is it then takes the energy and it uplifts it to an even higher space. So I think of these images as capturing the energy of the higher dimensions and bringing it into a visible physical form so that it's more easy for people to interact with, and that the images are radiating vibrations of love and peace and unity and balance and wisdom, and that they are inviting us to activate that within ourselves. And so they raise the frequency of the space, and every time we enter the room, it's an invitation to us to activate more of our potential, to rise to that best self, and really just helps us shift from a place of anxiety and fear into one of more peace, hope, and joy.
You know, a lot of us were watching last year around the Mayan calendar date in December. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of people pointed a lot of fingers afterwards saying, well, see, nothing really happened. What I noticed, and a lot of starseeds noticed also, was it was like a big door had been shut and a brand new one had been opened, and all the chess pieces were thrown off the board and new chess pieces were put on. Did you experience anything like that in January?
I think so. I really felt as if that was a huge shift. But it's almost like the biggest shift was in the earth herself. And for some of humanity, but not a huge shift for everybody. But I truly believe that we are now in a new beginning, and we are working to set the energies for this new, very long period of time on the earth. And
well,
the
one
choices
of the things
we
that
now
was
are
revealed
so important.
To me was, no matter what we see on the news and what they're trying to tell us, that the good news is we have lots of walk-ins, we have a lot of beings on the planet that are awakened. There's so many light beings that are in motion that
mm-hmm.
I think some wonderful changes are going to take place because of maybe the silence of the media not talking about any of us. They don't even acknowledge that we're here. But I feel like that millions and millions of us are holding some incredible frequencies to the crystal grid, to each other, finding the soulmates. You know, people that we live, loved, and died with from other lifetimes are showing
mm-hmm.
up. There's been an absolute crank of energies turned loose within people that are very positive and very uplifting. And although we don't really get to see that in movies and TV and some of the, you know, talksters on radio, but don't you feel like that we have another team that's been placed on the planet and they're on the move?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too. I'm very hopeful now because it's like we're the best kept secret going.
Right. Yeah. We just have to keep doing our work.
You know, just stay steady, just stay right in there and you know, don't look left, don't look right, just stay straight ahead.
Yeah.
And everybody has to do their you know, their piece. And
right.
It all comes together like a huge galactic tapestry when we're ready to really move on the planet. And I really feel like that we're going to have some dynamic things happen in the next couple of years that are going to solidify the fact that we are not alone on the planet. We're going to have a lot of extraterrestrial ships that will make themselves known. And the people on the ground, there's a lot of hybrids walking around, a lot of walk-ins. I view this from a whole different vantage, but it's very exciting to me to know that this is coming. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know how you felt about that.
I mean, yes, I agree with all of that, and I often, you know, if somebody says to me, I feel as if I'm like a vision holder, if you like, for the new Earth. And if someone says, well, how's that going to happen? And it's almost like, well, that is how that happens isn't necessarily part of my job. I just need to do my job to the best of my ability. And if I'm not feeling drawn in that particular place, that's because that will be somebody else's piece of the puzzle. And so I really am focusing on what I am called to do and to hold this vision of us creating this beautiful new earth.
Now, you studied to be a biologist.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any new information about what you have found out about DNA and the patterns of our DNA? Do you have anything that would point toward these new energies that are coming through a DNA activation?
Well, certainly not from the biologist's point of view. My understanding has come greatly from the creation of the artwork, so that while I'm painting, I'm getting information about what it is I am creating. And then I also felt that the information that came from Cryon through Lee Carroll was also incredibly important about the 12 layers of DNA and how that is coding for our consciousness, as well as many other things. And so my feeling is that the discrepancy between the scientific description of our DNA and the spiritual description is that the instruments of the scientists are not yet able to detect these other higher layers, and that over time, more will become apparent.
You know, sometimes I think maybe they just need to keep calling it junk DNA, because for them to grab a hold of what we know, I'm just not sure they're ready for that leap. You know, that's just me thinking that, okay?
No.
So,
well.
Tell us more about what you see coming with the new children, the indigos and the crystal children, and do you have clients that bring their children to you?
I definitely have worked with children, and it has been an incredible experience. I feel that the children, or many of the children who are coming in, are incredibly talented and gifted, and that just to see them working with the crystals and their recognition of the sacred geometry patterns within this artwork is just phenomenal. I think that one of my concerns had been, and this in a sense happened very suddenly for me after the shootings in Sandy Hook last December, I was on a radio show just 2 days later, and the host asked me what my work could do for the children. And that just touched me so deeply within my heart that I knew it was a message that I needed to do something. And 2 days later, I had a dream in which I was guided as to which images would help the children. Because what this radio show host was concerned about was the anxiety and fear that was being created amongst the children as a result of these very chaotic and often violent episodes that are happening in our world. And so the intention of my work in my new book, Coloring for Joy, was to immerse the children in these frequencies and vibrations that will bring them peace and joy and beauty, playfulness, and keep them connected to their inner essence and the gifts and talents they came in with, so that they don't forget them in this somewhat chaotic world that we are still living in.
I noticed that your daughter Charlotte,
mm-hmm,
helped put this coloring book together. Tell us a little bit about her, and is she as awake as you are?
She has got an amazing gift with children, and that has been apparent since she was about three. When she was at nursery school in the UK, and all the rest of her class had to take a nap in the afternoon, and she flatly refused, and always wanted to go down to the baby room to help look after the babies. So she started looking after children when she was three and has continued ever since, and has just is now an elementary school teacher. She has a fifth grade and a master's in both elementary and special education. So when I decided it was time for me to create something for children, I knew that I needed to bring her in for her expertise and that we could weave our gifts together in order to create this book. So she has watched me awaken and transform. So from an early age, she has had my work around her. When I was training to do Reiki, I used to practice with Charlotte. And so she's been very aware of this work. She's been very aware of my work, but she's not as consciously on the spiritual path as I am currently. Her focus is much more working with the children and bringing out the very best in every child which she comes into contact with.
Well, and I think that's wonderful. And mm-hmm. Is she your only child, or do you have other children?
She's my baby. I have two sons as well.
Okay. And do they ascribe to your thinking, or are they in another direction?
They are both very much in their own direction, but they absolutely all have my artwork around their apartments. So it's like a little bit of both.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So is there anything that you'd like to share with us about what you're feeling about the new energies that are coming to the planet, the ones that came last year and the ones that maybe will be coming this coming year? Do you have any new information about anything that you see happening in the future?
I feel as if it's the energies are encouraging us to shift and change is my biggest feeling, I think. And certainly as I look around me this year, that has created difficult times for many, many, many people. There's a lot of things within our lives which no longer seem to fit quite as they used to, and that we are in a process of clearing some of these older energies out, ready to step into the new. And I do feel that this year has been a difficult year for many, many people. And this time last year, I was really hoping that 2013 would be a lot easier than it has been. But I think that we have so many light workers and all of the different beings that are here and helping and working. But at the same time, I feel as if it's going to be maybe a slower process than a lot of us wish it was going to be.
Well, yeah, if you watch the news, it's pretty bleak. But on the other hand, the news that I get to watch from a different perspective is you know, how many Tesla kids are on the planet now with their inventions, and how our environment will start changing once they're really turned loose with their technologies. And there's so many secret things that I know about that are in the process of happening that, you know, it gives me great hope and resilience to keep going and doing what we're doing, because, you know, we just have the knowing that this is coming about. And this has been planned for a very, very long time, this evolutionary jump. And we have so many space beings and ETs and other species that are in on it. And, of course, you don't get to see that on the news at all.
No, and I was given a beautiful message, actually, several years ago. And it was a very simple message, but has stuck with me. And that was, we will get it right this time.
Yeah, right. It's never again Atlantis, for sure. Never again Atlantis. Do you have any past life memory of being in Atlantis, Barbara?
In many ways, yes.
Because when I look at your work, it makes me think of the temples of Atlantis and some of the symbols that they had on the walls.
Yes, I have met people who have recognized my work from them. Mm-hmm. definitely.
I think they left there and went to Egypt. So, I mean, it's like some of these patterns and symbols are in other civilizations since then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very conscious that the guides that come to work with me have represent all of the ancient golden ages that on Earth, plus others as well. So part of that, I think, comes from the guides. Part of it is from my own lifetimes in other times and spaces.
Well, I think you're the real deal, and I think you're a whole package of pure enlightenment, and I'm just so happy that you've decided to come and be with us again. And now I'm going to turn the program over to Arielle, and she may have some people on the switchboard that may want to call in and talk to you. So, Barbara, it's been my pleasure to talk to you. And, honey, I want you to email me and send me your mailing address so I can send you some Giza crystals, okay?
Thank you. That's wonderful.
Okay. Back to you, Arielle.
Okay. Well, I do have some questions that I wanted to talk to Barbara about, but to tell the listeners that if you have a question or comment, you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And while we are waiting for the people to get through that process, Barbara, I wanted to go back to some of the things that you were talking about before, and I didn't comment because I didn't want to interrupt, but I have dabbled with feng shui myself in my house, and I think people that are not maybe familiar with it, I was really focused on my abundance and prosperity corner like 10 years ago when I first moved here. And could you explain, I mean, I've got the back left corner of rooms of my desk with little things like water or mirrors or fire in certain places. Can you explain that process, and especially because I know a lot of people are dealing with abundance issues, as in wanting more, but can you explain how you might be able to suggest any way that how they can attract that using feng shui?
I feel as if, for me, it's quite a while since I have looked into those detailed aspects of feng shui. And because now, currently, I use the images that I have created to create this energy flow within the house, and or crystals. And so I've sort of stepped into this other way of doing things. Certainly citrine, I feel, is a crystal very much that's associated with prosperity, and also ruby and garnet. And I like to use those. And then I have one of the images in the card deck is actually, its keyword is abundance. And so for me, that is something that I use very much as well.
I had only dabbled, just enough to learn what I wanted to know, and I didn't really get into it any farther than that. But it seems to me that it helps you, it helps keep that energy present in your thought stream, which really, you know, is it's not that it's magic, but it is knowing how to move the energy and how to stay focused on your intent.
Right.
So another thing that you mentioned, that you're focused on what you're doing, and there may be some other work that belongs to someone else. And I wanted to expound on that. Lavendar calls it doing what your name is on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because there are a lot of worthwhile projects, but, you know, one's name isn't on everything. So right. You're fortunate that you're really clear on what has your name on it. But do you help people discern what they when people are looking for how can I make a difference,
right.
how can I contribute? Can you help them with that?
That's one of the things that I feel that my activation sessions and my workshops help people to do. And even the card deck can help people to do. So that I feel that as this work helps people to awaken more of their inner self, helps them to raise their consciousness, that in itself helps them to get in touch with their own inner gifts and talents. And as you get in touch with your gifts and talents, it becomes more clear as to your purpose. And I feel very much that what we feel in our heart is the greatest key to what our mission is. So what gives us what do we feel passionate about? What gives us joy? What do we feel so inspired by and excited by when we're learning about it or doing it or want to know about it? Certainly on my journey, that became the major key. What was inspiring me? What did I just feel so excited about? Because that was what I needed to learn next. And if something I was struggling with and I really didn't like it, and I just suddenly felt that that meant it wasn't for me. And so I used my heart as my guide. And so I always advise people to really get in touch with what they're feeling in their heart, that it has an intelligence and it knows oh so much.
Mm-hmm. But the follow your bliss or follow your joy,
mm-hmm.
It absolutely works every time, because if anything that you do, if you don't do it in joy, it just can't.
Right.
It can't reap or you can't reap anything from that, because it's just going to kind of lay there.
Yeah.
So
I think I was going to say, someone came to a workshop once and said, if I come to your workshop, they were already at the workshop, will I end up doing what you're doing? And I said, well, probably not. You'll end up doing what you were intended to do. And I think that that's very important.
Well, it is. I mean, there's a lot of people that, and they go to workshops because they're looking, seeking,
mm-hmm.
And certainly copying the presenter is not what the event was designed for.
Right. I also think that sometimes...
Go ahead.
Sorry, when we study with different people in what seem to be totally different areas, I also think that it can be reawakening within us wisdom and knowledge that we've held in other lifetimes, and that it's collecting the pieces of ourselves, which at a later step we will be integrating together to create our own unique path in the world.
And clearing out the erroneous programming, you know, people have had things drilled into their heads that's completely off,
mm-hmm.
that has to part of the process, right? I mean, you have to kind of strip it down to get back to the core of who you are.
Yes. And all the time using discernment of what is true for you and what doesn't seem to be true for you.
Yeah, well, that's huge, because if as Lavendar has said, truth knows its own source, so it could be very true for one person, does not ring so for another person, so you really have to be your own barometer. If it
mm-hmm.
if it feels true, then it is for you.
Yeah.
So we do have a caller online here with a question as soon as I get this mic open. Hello, David. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, good evening. This is my first time listening to the show, and I'm enjoying it very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I also wanted to say to your guest that I grew up in Michigan, so love that Michigan energy. I have a question about dark energy. I seem to struggle with being attacked on an energetic and psychic level with a lot of dark energy. And I don't certainly consciously do anything to bring that on. I consider myself a very light-filled being, a very loving and generous, kind being. But I recently, as of last week, had a healer call me a buffet for the dark beings. And I've had a lot of people tell me, a lot of psychics and spiritual people tell me that's my role here, is that, you know, that I'm transmuting that energy. And I accept that if that's the case, but it's a very difficult, painful path that nobody really understands, because there are times when I'm just kind of so overwhelmed that I have to go into seclusion. And I don't get a lot done out in the 3D world. And I don't necessarily know that's true. I think maybe that's a lie. And maybe the truth is that I have to find a way to transmute all this and be this amazing light force that I know is inside of me. And I work with crystals. I break crystals all the time, which is a little bit disconcerting. My selenite crystals just, like, break in half every time I seem to put my hands on them. I do well with citrine and black onyx, but I'm kind of just a little bit confused and wondering if the panel or the guest has any insight or observations for me. Thank you.
Barbara, Aria, you want me to take this one?
Oh, yeah.
So, hello, David. Yeah. I will start with, I've selected a card for you.
Okay.
And the message of the card is, so in this card deck, the images are speaking to you. And this image is like an eye. It has a labyrinth in the center. There are two golden dolphins, two unicorns, and three butterflies. And then coming down through the image are 12-stranded DNA helices. And the image says to you, I hold vibrations of creation, stimulating your ability to see the big picture. My purpose is to inspire yet higher levels of consciousness and DNA activation. I invite you to connect with the insight rising within you and enter the next phase of your sacred journey of life. Consciousness and DNA are inextricably linked, and our spiritual DNA has been sleeping, limiting our consciousness for eons of time. Your spiritual DNA is now awakening. Acute awareness of your unlimited potential and insight into universal truth is available as you raise your levels of consciousness, and deepening insight supports the next steps of your life journey. And it seems to me that you are beginning to gather a lot of this insight as to what is happening, and that awareness is going to help you to work with that situation. Ariel, do you have something to add?
Well, only that, David, you work with clear quartz as well?
Actually, I just got a piece that I'm working with very cautiously, because I haven't done well with those yet, but this one I'm kind of liking. It kind of came to me as a gift, unexpected, so I'm just, you know, like I said, I have a very, they fall and they break and they go away and they disappear, and I absolutely know that crystals can only be where they want to be. I have that knowledge. I know that you can't move a crystal against its will. So it's very strange to me when, like, I keep dropping them and they keep breaking on me.
But also when a crystal breaks, it can be like breaking the energy, clearing the energy. So they may be breaking because they are doing a very significant job for you.
That's what I'm hoping, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's very important to, for the ones that don't break, that you know how to cleanse them. mm-hmm. because they will retain energies, good or bad. They don't
right.
they don't have any judgment about that. They just hold on and magnify. So do you have a regimen for clearing and cleaning?
I do. I mean, I have sage. I sage my crystals. I spend most of my time in Palm Springs. I put them outside in the sun quite often. I spend a lot of time out in the sun trying to regenerate. I also have a saltwater pool, and I some of them I put in the pool, some of them I don't. My pool is kind of a very cool energetic vortex, and so a lot of them like being in the pool, or they can be in the saltwater and the sun, and I sage them, and I do my best to navigate. It's almost like I know I'm having a conversation with them, but I can't hear it, if that makes any sense.
Right. Yeah. Right. Lavendar, do you have anything to offer?
Yes, I feel like that he's coming through some of his bloodline. There's something in his bloodline that, and he may be transmuting some of his ancestral frequencies, and he may have even been in those bloodlines when he was maybe practicing the dark arts. Sometimes when we carry these frequencies and we start manifesting some dark arts, it may be because we have actually worn them before and been part of them, and one of our responsibilities is to erase them and get them out of the bloodline, and so they won't ever be able to rise up and be a danger to anyone. That's just what I was thinking about as I heard him talk.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you. I certainly have been recruited by a lot of Illuminati-type people. I haven't done it. I've always walked away, but I've certainly been recruited.
Then they must have known that you were carrying the bloodline.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
The assault is the standard method of discharging those energies from crystals after they have been in service. And you could even just have a bowl of dry salt and immerse them in there.
Yeah,
I'd like to say, jump in the shower, take you a box of salt, wet down, and put salt all over you. If you start having attacks from these dark entities, just see what the salt does on your body. And if you'll hear a swish in the shower, then right. you know that you're onto something, okay?
Okay, yeah, I've started bathing, like just dumping a bunch of organic sea salt in the tub and just sitting in it for a half hour, and I take some of my crystals in with me to the tub, so.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well,
awesome.
We really appreciate your calling in, and first time on the show. Hope you call back in another time. And
I will. I'll call you to tell you what a great transformation I've made.
Oh, excellent. We'll look forward to that, David.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So if anyone else has a question or a comment, remember you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. So, Barbara, have you had a lot of ET contact? Directly or indirectly? I mean, indirectly, I'm sure you have, but are you aware of it?
Right. I think it depends how you define ET. In the sense that I know that I work with guides from other stars and planets, but I never think of them as ETs.
Right, I get that. They're from a higher dimension, and what they look like and where they came from is not really the point. But a lot of our guests, after having, you know, quantum leaps and revelations, there was possibly, you know, a dream interaction or something, lost time that is part. Have you ever had lost or missing time?
No, not that I am aware of. No.
Okay. Earlier when we were talking about the DNA, I think you said from a biological standpoint, mm-hmm. the instrumentation on this planet hasn't reached the point where it can really discern the other strands of DNA. Did I hear you correctly?
That is my understanding, yes.
And so would that mean that the extra strands of DNA are in another dimension within us?
That's what I feel. I feel that they're incredibly real.
But almost, I mean, if they were in the fifth dimension.
Right. If they're in a different dimension, it's either that or they... I think that actually makes the most sense to me.
Well, certainly, I mean, we exist simultaneously with other dimensions, but mm-hmm. they're beyond our ability to perceive.
Right.
So it feels right that the other strands of DNA are just maybe fifth dimensional at least, and therefore they can't be picked up by third dimensional technology.
Right. We're at the place where they can become activated and bring about changes within our life.
Right. Well, anybody else that has a question, I know that our switchboard host, Chris, has a great story for you. And Chris, are you ready? I don't want to just jump on you, but I think the switchboard is a little quiet right now. So I'm just going to open up your mic. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Ariel. Say, Barbara. When you were on the show the last time, I did not hesitate. I went on your website and purchased the support image.
Uh-huh.
And also your card. Now, I live in Wyoming, and I took the support image, and it's beautiful, by the way. It's the beautiful colors and on the really nice watercolor paper. I took it to Casper, Wyoming, which is 100 miles away from me, to have it framed, and I wish you could have been there to see people react to this piece. You know, they were having energetic responses to it. It just them happy. even when I took it through the checkout, that person
right.
had. I mean, everyone commented. They didn't, whether they understood it or not wasn't important. It was that they were having an experience with the image and the energy. So I wanted you to know that. And the other thing, yeah, and I want the people listening to know that too. You know, because there's definitely. I told Fiona before the show, this woman is on to something. So, anyway, I also got the cards, and I've worked with the cards quite a bit. And something happened, probably about 10 months ago. It's a friend of mine's daughter-in-law and her son were trying to get pregnant, and they've been trying to get pregnant for a couple of years. And the daughter-in-law and son live about 8 hours away from us, and they were back for a visit. And I found out that she was coming over and maybe would be here 10 minutes. So I went to the cards, and you know you have that spread, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. I laid it out on the floor. There really wasn't time to explain to her, but I pulled her in the room, and I said, sit here and set your intention. And intuitively, she knew what it was all about. And 10 days later, she was pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, she's right, yes. And so, I've got chills now. So,
I have too. I've got goosebumps going up and down me. Yeah.
So now my daughter was here a couple weeks ago, and she and her husband have been trying to get pregnant. So, you know, needless to say, I've got this. There's other things going on in my life where I have this now in my sacred space set up. So I'm sitting in there every day with my intention, but brought her in. So I hope I can report back very shortly that I'll have my first grandchild very soon. Yeah, so I mean, it's just such a, the cards really bring out the joy, I think. You know, they point you towards your joy. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yes, I think they do. And that, yes, because they can help you to look at things from a different perspective. So even if something happens that is very challenging, and it may be, you know, just something relatively minor, but it's upset you and is a challenge to you, you can go to the card deck and go, what do I need to know now?
Exactly.
And a card will come out, and the energy of the card as well as the words help you shift your perspective on how you're looking at it. And that makes it easier to deal with.
Right.
So that you're dealing it with from that higher perspective, from that higher vibration, and not getting caught in the lower energies to the same extent. But I think over the long term, yes, they will help to guide you to your joy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's what it feels like is happening for me. And I also want to say I feel a coloring book in my future.
Oh, good.
I need to color like a child. So, there you go.
Well, I now
have two
coloring books. There's the one that we talked about that was specifically designed for children, but I am really finding that adults love it, and it is for the child in every person. It helps to awaken your inner child. And then there is a second one that was very much designed for adults who are going either, you know, part of their spiritual awakening process, or if they are going through maybe a health challenge or some other challenge, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's something in their life that's a very difficult time, and it's designed to guide you, you know, into your inner self, to awaken more of your inner essence and connect with the joy and the possibilities that are deep within your heart. So you have
well,
choice.
I think I see two coloring books in my future. Thank you very much, Barbara. Thank you.
I would love you to, if you would email me that story, it would just be beautiful.
Okay,
would you do that?
I will. Yes, ma'am, I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Arielle. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yes.
So if we have anyone else that has a question or comment, remember you need to press 1 on your keypad. And Barbara, is there another area that you would like to enter into for discussion?
Well, this isn't kind of a discussion point, but I often forget to do this. So I wonder if I might just tell people, as we were just talking about purchasing coloring books, that I do have a special offer.
Oh.
And that if anybody would like to buy anything from our shopping cart on crystalwingshealingart.com, they can use the code EDEN, E-D-E-N, and that is a very special offer right now. So you would get 10% discount on your order. You would get free shipping if it's over $20 and you live in the U.S. And you would get a greeting card, one greeting card for every $10 spent as a gift. And if you spend over $50, you get a free Waves of Eden meditation DVD. And that is not described on the website because it is a special offer. We've given it to our newsletter members, but I wanted to offer it to the listeners to the show as well. So you would just use the code and everything else will happen.
Okay, and the code is simply EDEN, E-D-E-N, right?
That's correct. Correct, yes.
Well, that's great. And when how many cards are in this deck? that you have?
There are 36 cards plus the instruction suggestions. And within the 36 cards, they're all paired. So there are 18 images in total. There are 18 cards that have a large image with a keyword. And then there are another 18 that have a smaller image, the keyword, and then the essence of the image written out in the words.
Wow, and this was all channeled, inspired from your guides through your art and expressing not only what the card is representing, but even going farther than that and infusing the art image itself with the energy of what the keyword is?
Yes. Well, I look at it that the image came first, and the keyword sort of represents the image. But it's the image that is the foundation and has all of the transformational healing energies within the image that can be conveyed directly from the image, or you can also receive them through the keyword and the description.
That's what I was not saying very well. I was trying to ask you, but that I have actually a piece of yours that was a gift, a Christmas gift from Tammy, and it is the seven chakra column. And I keep it just above my piano where I can see it when I'm playing the piano.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's lovely, and it's very, very soothing. And you can almost like focus in and feel various levels, because this is the seven energy centers, and you can kind of focus in each one and experience it as not only part of the whole, but as an individual, you know, for the heart center and the communication and the crown chakra and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, what?
I was going to say, have you tried running your fingers down it?
No, I haven't.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's an idea.
Yes. So if you start, you can start at the top and just hold your hand out. You don't need to touch it, but just bring your hand down just a couple of inches in front of it and see what you feel.
Well, I will do that. I will do that. Thank you. So you do sessions, you do private consultations as well that you can order on your website?
No, you can't order them on the website. You need to email me to order those, I think.
Oh, well, okay. That's kind of what I meant.
It is described on the website, but I'm going to have to go and look now. I don't think there is a button in the shopping cart for sessions, so it's a direct contact thing.
Okay, so your email address is?
Barbara@crystalwingshealingart.com.
So if any of our listeners are interested in booking private time with you, they just send you an email and you'll set that up.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to know the process. Well, it has just been a delight to have you back on. If you have anything else that you want to express to the audience,
I would just say that I picked a card at the beginning of the show for the listeners, and it was the card of love, and the main message of that is to allow yourself to be empowered by love, and it is that love that is the love of creation, the energy of creation, that beautiful, otherworldly love energy.
It transcends the third dimension. Well, that's lovely. We do have a very higher consciousness, awake, and a lot of our audience is very activated to higher levels, it seems, all the time. But that was lovely. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I would like to thank you for joining us this evening, Barbara. It's always a pleasure to hear from you and keep us up to date on anything that you're doing in the future. And we'd
thank
love
you.
To be with you again.
Thank you. Thank you to you and to Lavendar, and also for the little piece of the news that I heard from Anastasia. As I say, it's been great to be with you all. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. So, everyone, we will be back next week, same time. And thank you so much for joining us from all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy. Have a great week, and have a safe Halloween, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.